everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We always begin with the latest on health and healing, always from peer-reviewed journals from the National Library of Medicine and with respected institutions. And here's why. Because historically in my career, starting at the very beginning, when I would suggest that something that was natural and non-toxic could improve our quality of health, prevent disease, it was mocked and ridiculed. Oh, that's just nonsense. Moderation in all things, we were told. Don't become a fanatic. So we mocked, remember what those of you who are old enough to remember, the little old lady in tennis shoes. Well, that little old lady in tennis shoes was getting her 10,000 steps in a day, eating a high fiber diet, didn't have constipation, didn't have food allergies, and her body was kept in good shape, and her feet weren't distorted, and her toes and all the other things go wrong when you wear overly tight shoes. So the very thing that we should have been doing, we were ridiculing and mocking. Now, I remember having a debate in Chicago in the early 1970s, I think it was from 1972, with one of the top people at the American Medical Association, and it was about fiber. And the argument was, do we have enough fiber in the American diet? Oh, yes, of course we do. I mean, fiber is really good for pigs and cows. That's what my opponent said. And yet, in Connecticut, that was one of the states I was using as an example, they were averaging about 5 grams of fiber per day. Well, that's way too little. That leads to constipation. But then again, laxative abuse was very common. People just weren't regular. They had to have a laxative in order to have a bowel movement. Well, that's not good. So then your body becomes addicted to the laxative, meaning you can't have a normal movement if you don't have a laxative. That's like saying, I can't get to work in the morning if I don't have my coffee, if I don't have my espresso, if I don't have 200 milligrams of caffeine in my body, I can't get moving. That's not healthy. So what we have found is this, that if you want to justify to any friends or skeptics that your healthy choices indeed are science-based, I provide you with that science, because everything is coming from the National Library of Medicine, from the top medical journals and the top scientific institutions. It's not something that someone just made up. For example, we all should be concerned about the glycemic index and insulin index, meaning when we eat something, what happens to our blood sugar? Now, a lot of pre-diabetics and diabetics wake up in the morning and their blood sugar, fasting blood sugar, may be 190, 200, 210. In fact, someone I'm working with right now, that person's blood sugar with 2 blood sugar-lowering medications was still at 200. And they wanted to give even more medication. So I simply gave a diet change, exercise, some supplements like chromium picolinate, and lo and behold, the person now is waking up in the morning with no medications, and their blood sugar, fasting blood sugar, is around 110. That's almost normal. Within another week or two, that person will be in the hundreds, meaning under 100. And another person started at 190. They're now at 85. That's normal. Now, why is that important? Because when you exercise, you bring down that glucose level. Now the person's walking, they're bringing down the glucose level. That's going to save them a lot of problems. What's one of the big problems that you can get if you have a high glycemic index? Heart attacks, stroke, early death. Well, that's not good. No, it's not. So the University of Sydney did a study about the glycemic index. And guess what they found will help in the utilization of carbohydrates when you have a meal? Live kombucha, K-O-M-B-U-C-H-A. Now, a lot of you, especially those of you who have been in the health movement for decades, know that way back in the 1970s, kombucha was considered the tea to drink for overall health. We didn't know as much then, of course, about probiotics and the microbiome, all the good bacteria, but we knew it was a good fermented beverage. They didn't have different flavors back then. It just tasted terrible. But it was good for you. But kombucha, which now is very palatable, inexpensive, you can make it yourself. It's a complex probiotic beverage made from fermented tea. That's it. Yet despite extensive historical and anecdotal and in vivo evidence for its health benefits, there were no controlled trials that had been published on its effect on humans. So the University of Sydney decided to do that. They conducted a randomized, placebo-controlled crossover study of the gold standard that examined the glycemic index and the insulin index. These are responses after a standardized high glycemic meal. For example, if you have a hamburger, that's a high glycemic meal. You're getting French fries, high glycemic. You're getting the buns, high glycemic, meaning the refined carbohydrates and sugars. And they did this, and they found, they tested three different beverages: soda water, diet lemonade, and a soft drink, and then unpasteurized kombucha. And the soda water was used as a control beverage. Well, the glycemic index values were calculated by expressing the 2H blood glucose or insulin response as a percentage of the response produced by 50 grams of glucose dissolved in water. That's about 2 ounces. That's all. There was no statistically significant difference in the glycemic index between the standard meal consumed with soda water or the diet soda drink. In contrast, kombucha, when consumed with that meal, significantly reduced the glycemic index compared to the meal consumed with soda water. So, what's the takeaway? If you want to help control your blood sugar, if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic, have a kombucha tea after a meal. It floods the body, especially the gut, with the good probiotics. And that reduces the postprandial glycemia, and that brings your blood sugar down. That is very important. So you see, good science is supporting something like a kombucha. Now, from Senshu University in Japan, they have a study about polyphenols. And they may be missing components in regulating inflammation in the immune response. And this is all about making sure that you have enough polyphenols in the blood to make a difference. And it helps with your CD4 count. It reduces the production of interferon gamma. It helps you if you have autoimmune conditions. So one more reason, when you're looking at getting all those polyphenols in, have a wide variety of fruits and vegetables in your diet. It's that simple. Better health, more clean, healthy food. Fresh food also. And we know that the polyphenols are so important in tea, green tea, and grapes, and chocolate. They're great. And the particular polyphenol is called a pro, P-R-O, cyanin, C-Y-A-N, IDINS, procyanidins. And these are dietary polyphenols found in many of the foods you eat. If you want to make sure you're getting them, make sure you have some grapes each day. Ideally, the grapes with the seeds in them and the grape skin. That's also good. And a cup of hot green tea. That also is good as well. Here's some good news. And this is from the Max Planck Institute, one of the most respected scientific institutes in the world. A plant extract fights brain tumors. Well, that's good. And it is, let me spell it for you, S-I-L-I-B-I-N-I-N. And in lay language, it's milk thistle. It's the seed of the milk thistle. It's non-invasive treatment for Cushing's disease. And by the way, Cushing disease, not to be confused with Cushing syndrome, is caused by a tumor in the pituitary gland in the brain. The tumor secretes increased amounts of the stress hormone, ACTH. And and that followed by cortisol release from the adrenal glands, leading to a rapid weight gain, elevated blood pressure, and muscular weakness. Patients are prone to osteoporosis, infections, and losing cognition, and even depression. In 85% of the patients, the tumor can be removed by uncomfortable brain surgery. For inoperable cases, there's currently only one targeted therapy approved, which unfortunately causes intense side effects, such as hyperglycemia in more than 20% of the patients. Therefore, the fact that the Max Planck Institute endocrinologist discovered in cell cultures and in animal models and in human tumor tissue that a harmless plant, can be applied to treat Cushing's disease. Milk thistle extract. All right? It's that simple. Once again, high-quality research published in a peer-reviewed journal. This was published in the Journal of Nature Medicine. Shows that that when this extract from milk thistle was used, it stops all that negative activity. Now, another good study comes from the University College London Medical School. Any kind of regular exercise at any age helps the brain fight off dementia later in life. So for those of us who've been athletic, and I know many of you have, your whole lives, and it does not be competitive athleticism, just working out, taking care of yourself, both aerobically and resistance exercise, keeping down the body mass index. So no matter what you choose to do, from walking down the street to running a marathon, you can help fight off dementia during old age. That's according to the University College London Medical School and all the different things they found. And this was published in the Journal of Neurology, Neurosurgery, and Psychiatry. So do your exercise. Get in your 10,000 plus steps. I like people to start at 10,000 steps and go to 20,000, even 30,000 a day. It's not that difficult. Also from the University College Cork in Ireland, as well as the University of Oslo in Norway, the polyphenol-rich tomato extract supports cardiovascular health through modulation of gut microbiome. Once again, a product you eat is good for the heart, but it's only because how it manifests in your gut. That's why I keep saying you really have a big immune system response from your gut, what you eat. New research has found evidence that a water-soluble tomato extract, what is called FruitFlow, FruitFlow, can activate the gut-heart axis. In a double-blind, placebo-controlled crossover study, overweight and obese subjects were given either placebo or 150 milligrams of tomato extract daily for 4 weeks, with a six-week washout period between interventions. Researchers collected stool, blood, and urine samples to test changes in what is called TMAO, and they found that there was a big difference when you use tomato extract. It helps the heart. So, just suggesting that that's good for you. All right? So, get tomatoes. Have tomato juice without the salt. By the way, commercial tomato juice is very high in salt. One glass could give you almost an entire daily requirement of that, and you don't want that. And when you're cooking tomatoes, cook them at a low temperature. It releases more of the healing nutrients, and that's good for the whole body. But in this case, the heart, gut, good bacteria in the gut, helps the heart, and it's called the gut-heart axis. So that's important. One last study, University of Southern California. Vaping can cause even more DNA damage than smoking regular cigarettes. I'm sure I know friends that vape who smoked and thought they're doing the right thing. It was easy, didn't have the same aesthetic, bad taste and smell. And I kept saying you can end up with popcorn lungs, which is very serious. And now the latest e-cigarettes used regularly by more than 10% of U.S. teens, more than 3% of adults. We're dealing with tens of millions of people now. Remember, it was always pitched as a healthy alternative to tobacco cigarettes. It is not. It is worse than tobacco cigarettes. But research increasingly links the use of e-cigarettes or vaping to many of the same life-threatening diseases that plague smokers. In a breakthrough study, a group of researchers from the Keck School of Medicine, University of California, analyzed epithelial cells taken from the mouths of vapers, smokers, and people who had never vaped or smoked. They found that vapers and smokers had similar levels of DNA damage, more than twice the amount found in non-users, and DNA damage was higher among those who vaped or smoked more frequently. It was also higher in vapers who used a vape pod and mods, as well as the sweet fruit or mint-flavored vapes. So, one more reason why you shouldn't vape and you shouldn't smoke. Okay? And it was just published in the Journal of Nicotine and Tobacco Research. That's the latest on health and healing. And always go to GaryNall.com, where you find hundreds of articles, clips of videos, and things that can improve the quality of your life. And keep listening to PRN.live every day. It's online 24/7, the finest broadcasting, the most objective insights you can find in the media.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Had to switch over to a telephone because of some technical issues, and hopefully you can hear me fine. On today's program, we're going to explore several different issues. In fact, each one completely different. And from if we get to it, we're being poisoned, so says a Coca-Cola whistleblower. The incredible power of Pfizer is horrifying, according to Dr. Robert Malone. Brazil, well, they're doing something that I wouldn't have expected, but they're not only hyping the COVID vaccines for children, they're mandating it, and they're not allowing any free speech on the issue. You take your vaccines or you're in trouble. But we're going to begin with Naomi Wolf. Naomi Wolf, in my opinion, is simply one of the most courageous people out there because she's really risked her reputation, which is formidable, as a second to third generation feminist. And once you go up against the establishment, keep in mind, they have capacity to influence your future everywhere, from book publishers who no longer will publish you to lecture agencies that can no longer get you a lecture. And if you depend upon your lifestyle for that, then you've got problems. And a lot of people have problems, and a lot of other people are staying silent because they don't want those problems. Here she is discussing the latest post-vax death autopsies. Remember, just about 6 months ago, we were the first program in the United States, radio program, to break the story that morticians were finding for the first time in their history, and they all communicate. They're a large network. Remember, everyone who dies in the United States, around the world, has to go through embalming in preparation for death, or after death, for their funeral, etc. And so they take the blood out. There's a machine that pumps blood out, and then they put formaldehyde back in. They couldn't do it. They couldn't get all the blood out, and they couldn't get the formaldehyde in. Something was blocking it. And these turned out to be these strange-looking, rubbery kind of materials. They had never seen this before in their history. And people tried to downplay it. None of the major media would touch this issue. And so then we started making calls. Dr. Cole, one of America's foremost pathologists, who, by the way, has now had to sell this practice because they went after him. Impeccable 40-year career, and now he's no longer there. And they're going after every single one of the advocates for a challenge. In any case, now there's no longer debating, are these self-organizing nanoparticles lipids in your body? Yes, they are. Then what is the likely outcome? Well, how about all the different illnesses and unusual deaths? Everywhere you look today, people are dropping dead without any apparent risk factors. Well, that doesn't happen. That's not normal. And so her group of physicians and scientists are collecting thousands upon thousands of pages of documents from Pfizer through a court order, and they're examining it, and wow, it was all there all along. Pfizer knew it. The FDA knew it. The CDC knew it. Anthony Fauci knew it. Collins from the U.S. Public Health Service. Everyone knew, and they kept it from all of us. Here's what she's saying about the newest discovery. And this should really, really drive the issue home. But for those of you who are pro-vaccine, which is your right, and advocate, but then you condemn those who weren't vaccinated, and yet now it's the unvaccinated who are on the smart side of the issue. And unfortunately, everyone on the other side was wrong. And the consequences are death, injury, and the fear that something could happen to them. Let's hear Naomi Wolf, Dr. Naomi Wolf, explain this.
Well, and I think it relates to what Mr. Gaffney was saying, because this is just Report 56, I think, is incontrovertible proof that we are at war, because it shows that this injection, which I've been saying is a bioweapon, is causing catastrophic damage in at least these 30 deceased people who were autopsied. So to recap from yesterday, for those who didn't see the initial discussion we had last night, Dr. Robert Chandler, one of our star volunteers for the War Room Daily Clout Research Volunteers Project going through the Pfizer documents, turned his attention to a presentation by a pathologist named Arne Burkhardt in Germany. And Dr. Burkhardt and seven other international pathologists, physicians, and scientists did autopsies at the end of 2021. And made an announcement about their findings at the end of 2021 and into 2022, February 2022, in which they autopsied 30 deceased people. And they did so at the request of those people's loved ones. They were second autopsies because the loved ones had been not satisfied with the results of the first autopsies. And Dr. Chandler notes that there have been many obstacles to loved ones getting answers in autopsies about what killed their loved ones, if there was any possibility that it was vaccine related. So these were a range of people ranging from 28 years old to in their 90s. The average age was 69. They died outside of the hospital and also inside the hospital, mostly women, a little less than half men. So what they found, I'm really sorry to say, and I'll go into more detail with slides today, is catastrophic lesions throughout the body on many, many organs, blood damage, spleen, liver, brain, you know, throughout the body, skin, testes. And then Dr. Burkhardt went into detail. What the pathologist did was they took tissue samples and stained them to see what changes there were, if any, in the tissues of vaccinated people who had died. And the deaths had been from 7 days to 6 months after injection. So they were looking for any sign that the spike protein or other ingredients had been the cause of the deaths. And in the majority of cases, they found probable cause or likely cause that the vaccine was the cause. So here's slide number one, and it's just very traumatic. This is about the vascular system, and you can see on the left a normal blood vessel, and you can see the endothelium, you know, on the left. And for vaccinated people, it looks completely different. And the title is endovasculitis, paravasculitis, and vasculitis. So this is, you know, we've seen so many side effects of problems with vasculature, blood vessels, problems with clotting. And their theory, Dr. Burkhardt's theory and the scientist's theory, is that the vaccine leads to damage in the vascular system, and you see it right here in these cadavers. Now we go to slide two. They did a spike protein stain, and there you can actually see positive expermiation, meaning expression of spike protein, in the myofibroblasts of the arterial wall. This is the aorta, and you see right there, you can see the spike protein in the aorta of these cadavers. And again, so many people, so much heart damage, so much blood clots, lung clots, leg clots. And so you can actually see the spike protein in the aorta there because of the stain in these cadavers. Now we go to slide three, and this is very distressing. One reason it's so distressing is that in the discussion we had yesterday about these kids who are being solicited by universities to be test subjects illegally for this mRNA injection, one of the questions is about autoimmune disease. And autoimmune disease is off the charts in the Pfizer documents. Well, this shows a causal effect with the injection and autoimmune diseases. This is a spleen showing the onion skin phenomena that is seen in some autoimmune diseases, this concentric layering. And around the artery, hypercellularity is visible with the intense nuclear material reaction, and these are the blue dots. So autoimmune diseases related to the injection at scale. Let's go on to the lung. And this is slide 4. You can see a normal lung on the left. On the right, you see a vaccinated lung, basically. And you can see all the white areas of the lung alveoli. And so, you know, the congresswoman from South Carolina who challenged the Twitter censors, she said she got asthma after the injection. So many breathing problems, so many respiratory problems, pneumonias, bronchitises. Well, here you see what you never want to see, these white areas in the lung alveoli. And the alveoli are those tiny little pockets that allow people to breathe easily. So you see the damage to the lung there from the injection. Going to go on to slide 5. This is very traumatic. You know, I've written an essay about how the lipid nanoparticles cross the blood-brain barrier. Many people are noticing changes, personality changes, temperamental changes in their loved ones post-vaccination. And Dr. Flowers, one of our volunteers, explained that the inflammation in the brain is going to cause damage to things like the prefrontal cortex, nuanced reasoning, nuanced thinking.
Naomi, I know you got to bounce. We got a short commercial break. Just hang on. Naomi Wolf, you've got to bounce, I know, but we need a couple of minutes. You need to wrap this up. It's that serious. And I want to send everybody over to Daily Cloud to see this and get all the reports, particularly the last couple have been brutal. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, so I was at slide 5, which sadly shows that the vessels in the brain have a focal lymphocytic infiltration, meaning the lymphocytes are in the brain, and the scientists and doctors concluded that that was what probably caused a rupture in the brain of that deceased person, again, related to, they believe, likely or probably the injection. And the last thing I want to show you is just super disturbing, is the final slide, slide 6, which says unidentified foreign material in the vessels. And these are unidentified foreign material in the vessels, especially in the spleen vessels. And this was in 5 of the cadavers out of 35 cases. And you can see case 13 down there below with this unidentified material. And what these scientists and pathologists concluded, the likely explanation, which gives me chills, because, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, I've been screaming about this ever since I investigated lipid nanoparticles, which you can order by the box over the internet, and they're made in China. They concluded that these are probably the lipid nanoparticles coalescing and solidifying. And in the report, it's so disturbing. The scientists conclude that, and doctors conclude, they have never seen anything like this before, this unidentified foreign material in cadavers, in all the cadavers they've you know, dissected or investigated in the past. And to remind everyone, and this is the conclusion they reached as well, we independently reached this conclusion. They said, you know, what is likely is that in the warmth of the body, lipid nanoparticles are solidifying and causing this unidentified material, which is in the spleen, in the case of these 5 cadavers. This solidifying, almost plastic, this industrial fat hardening. Because remember, and when I read this, I was so horrified, and I broke this story on your show, Steve, you know, about 8 months ago. But they reached this conclusion independently. And it was buried, you know, in 2021, that the lipid nanoparticles are transported and stored in sub-freezing temperatures, in which case they are liquid. But of course, when they go into the body or at room temperature, they solidify. So that's what you're getting when you're getting an injection. You're getting something that goes throughout your body, traverses every organ in your body, and then coalesces. And this was a hypothesis when I brought this up, but these eight international pathologists, scientists have confirmed it. And I think what really is notable is that after this presentation was made at the end of 2021, Dr. Burkhart was assailed and smeared and attacked and you know, demoted academically. And he made this presentation again in February of 2022, and it was just memory hold. So I really, we owe a great debt to Dr. Robert Chandler, who, you know, retrieved it and presented it and analyzed it in the latest report 56. And I guess I just want to conclude by saying, you know, I've been saying this is a bioweapon. It's a bioweapon. This is not a medical product, everyone. This is, you know, this is causing catastrophic damage to 30 cadavers. 70% of them have catastrophic damage. And the conclusion of these respected scientists and physicians is that, you know, it is vaccine related. And this is the saddest report I've ever made of all the sad reports.
How do people...
Dr. Naomi Wolf. Now imagine this. She puts her entire reputation on the line. Everything that she's built in a 35-year career, the establishment, and I mean the entire establishment, is going to go after her. And yet she's saying this is important. First, it was about women and reproduction. It was about the high incidence of miscarriages and stillbirths, premature deaths of women who took the vaccine, like a 3,000, somewhere between 2,700 and 3,000% increase in miscarriages. And that figure almost doubled. And the longer we go from the point of vaccination, the more of these crises we're seeing. And yet the establishment wants us to believe that, well, if anything happens in the first, you know, 2 weeks, that's understandable, but after that there shouldn't be any problem. No, just the opposite. The biggest problem is the longer we go, the more this is going to happen. For example, we just found this out. Do you remember the Buffalo Bill football player, one of its all-stars, had a heart attack. His heart stopped, and they got it resuscitated, which was good. But now we have information that we didn't know before, and we can thank the world's leading cardiologist, Dr. McCullough, for discovering this, that if you have myocarditis, you shouldn't exercise. Because exercise exacerbates it. So that's one of the reasons we're seeing all of these prime of life, 23-year-old top athletes, no smoking, drinking, no risk factors at all, dropping dead. Because they were probably asymptomatic, got the vaccine, no problems, and they didn't know they had myocarditis. Went ahead exercising vigorously, and that vigorous exercise killed them. Well, how many more athletes are going to be dropping dead? An awful lot. Because you don't want to be out there competing in athletics if you have myocarditis. We didn't know this. We were told it was so insignificant it wasn't even listed as a risk factor. But in the secret papers that we got that they didn't want to give us, mind you, what does it tell you if the FDA doesn't want to turn over Pfizer's own research for 76 years? It means that there's something that they don't want you to know. Well, now we know. And yet the mainstream media has not once been critical, not a single player in the mainstream media. I did a commentary yesterday. I'm doing a new commentary today. I'm going to offer it tomorrow because I want to go even deeper, where I said, would the world be a better place if we had more women elected to high office? And the answer is yes, absolutely. I want to see that, providing they're the right women. What do we mean? Well, let me give an example. Where would the world be today? I voted for Ralph Nader each time. I voted for Jill Stein and Rocky Anderson. Where would the world be today if Ralph Nader had been elected president? Our environment wouldn't be polluted. We wouldn't be in wars around the world. We wouldn't be engaged in destabilizing governments with regime change. We wouldn't have these titans of business exploiting us. We wouldn't have hundreds of billions of dollars a year given in subsidies to those corporations that already had made profit, wanted more than the profit they had made. They wanted us, the American public, to give them even more money. None but the average American, and especially the left, they condemn Ralph Nader because they didn't let the corporatist, liberal, Al Gore, compromised an ideological mind can be. Take a look at Ralph Nader. Take a look today. Is Ralph Nader any different? No. He's as wise as he was, even wiser. Would he had a chance to run and get any election? No. Because he refused to be groomed. I said a long time ago, you're not going to be elected until first you're selected. But we didn't know there was a selection process. Now we do, with over $1 billion minimal spent in some of these races, in the presidential races, $100 billion. A lot of people have enough money, they need you elected because they need Hillary Clinton. That's a woman they want in office. Now they'll try to sell her as a woman in office. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care your color. I don't care male, female. That's irrelevant. We should only be looking at the most qualified person who is not going to be biased, who's not going to be tribal, who's not going to say, well, you voted for me, so you're going to get it all, and you didn't vote for me, and we're against you. We're going to sic the IRS on you. We're going to sic the Justice Department. That's not what we want. We want a person in office who has compassion, empathy, who is a peacemaker, whose cabinet will be filled not with corporate shills who are in the revolving door coming in from a major polluting industry and then controlling that polluting industry to give it all of its advantages, no disadvantages. No, we've had that. Every single sociopath in office, which is most, have done nothing more than keep us under control, the average person, deny us our freedoms, and deny us even now our freedom of speech. And they're not even hiding it anymore. So we don't need just a person of color. We had that with Barack Obama. How'd that work out? Now we're going to go to another clip. This is Brazil. Remember how everyone was just so happy that Lula got elected again, even though his government was as corrupt as Bolsonaro's? They're all corrupt. But now he's mandating children receive the vaccine. Who's behind that, I wonder? Could it have anything to do with the power of the lobbyists and the vaccine manufacturers and the politicians and scientists that they influence? Yes, it does. So what happens when you vaccinate children who has shown have zero opportunity of dying unless they have a comorbidity? That more children are dying because of the vaccine, having adverse events because of the vaccine, than being protected. And that's in the peer-reviewed scientific literature over and over and over again. But here's what he's doing. This is pure political. This is pure corruption. Go to the clip,
Brazil.
Vamos.
Vamos. So Brazil's new puppet of the World Health Organization is a guy by the name of President Lula da Silva. Of course, he is a huge supporter of the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum. He made a big announcement this week, and we wanted to unpack what he had to say about government vaccines and social services and how this could... this is what the World Health Organization wants. They want this big push by their governments in order for people to get vaccines at all levels.
What they did not want was Jair Bolsonaro, who said... We are going to maintain autonomy. We right. will not join the World Health Organization. We will not push COVIDism on our people. So he had to get out of there.
Yeah, they had to get rid of him. So they did a good job of that. So now Lula da Silva announced on Tuesday that the COVID-19 shot will be mandatory for children if parents wish to continue receiving government assistance.
Coming, that's so evil.
Does it sound like Canada? Does it sound like other countries coming to a theater near you? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that has a contagion about it. So Lula made this declaration during the inauguration of the ophthalmology and diagnostic units of the Super Carioca Health Center in Benfica, Rio de Janeiro. He said the Bolsa Família is coming back, and it's coming back with something important. It's coming back, he says, with conditions. The children have to be in school. If they're not in school, the mother loses the benefits, Lula said, about the social welfare program. It says the children...
Which in and of itself is a bit tone deaf because, you know, they're...
Okay, so here's how it works. Your children have to go to school or your mother or parents lose all their benefits that they get from the state. But to get into school, you have to be vaccinated. So we're talking about tens of millions of children in Brazil. Brazil's one of the most populated nations in South America and the largest industrial nation in South America. It has a history of one leader after another being corrupt and the regime being corrupt, and none of them caring for the rainforest, the Amazon. So now they're going to use children just to make profits, and it has nothing to do with COVID. That's proven by the science. Here's another clip. This is really interesting. because this is Dr. Robert Malone, the developer of the original science upon which the RNA vaccine was manufactured. And he's having a conversation here. And you have to listen carefully, because what he's saying is, he's saying behind all this is Pfizer's power. He says the incredible power of Pfizer is horrifying. So listen to what he has to say, and you'll see how deep the Pfizer reach is and how much influence they have over the media. I think it's an important listen. So we'll take about 5 minutes of this, please.
There is actually a documented accord now between the Wayback people that run the Wayback Machine and the U.S. intelligence community. And one of the things that was fascinating, you may recall all of the controversy around the American issue of the Hunter Biden laptop that was purported to be a fake by the New York Times, among others, as opposed to, I think it was the New York Post that broke the story. And so you ended up with a little crosstown shooting match there. And the decision was made and it's now documented in Twitter and of course, across all media, that this Hunter Biden laptop story was fake news and it should be suppressed. And so initial articles that had been posted were literally wiped from the Wayback Machine. As part of that agreement that exists now, that the U.S. government and the intelligence community, and presumably Five Eyes, can go in, like they edit Wikipedia very aggressively, by the way, and delete entries that are not in the national interest, national security interest.
Wow.
And in the case of the Hunter Biden laptop, what was fascinating about that is when it then became the approved narrative that, in fact, it was real. Wayback Machine was caught repopulating those articles that they had previously taken down. So in the case of this recent dust up between Veritas, trying to be neutral in my language here, between Veritas and Pfizer with that recorded kind of honey trap strategy that they do with this global director level person responsible for RNA vaccine strategies. Within hours, all records of that gentleman and his college career, etc., had been completely wiped off the internet, including off the Wayback Machine. I talked about this in a recent essay, the cascade of events that occurred. It was fascinating to watch. It demonstrated the incredible power of Pfizer, or I should really say Pfizer Reuters, because they're closely tied to each other. And, for instance, your own Daily Mail, one of the largest circulating publications in the world, put out an article about the Veritas drop within, minutes, it seemed. And then within an hour, that was deleted. Only people that had screenshot it still could show a record that, in fact, it had been on the Daily Mail. And then there was absolute press blackout globally on that story until really the alternative media and podcasters like you and I spoke about it. And then Tucker Carlson, I had pinged Tucker about the story before it ever broke. He's a buddy. Give him a heads up. And so the following day, after they had done their diligence, because there was one of the kind of dark arts that was circulated was that this gentleman was a fake and this was all fraudulent. And
for people that haven't seen it, could you just describe what they recorded and what had happened in that? I think it might be good to have some context.
So in this, and I do recommend, although apparently the YouTube video has been dropped from YouTube after a crazy number of views, 8 million or something, but you can still find it on Rumble and other platforms.
Twitter, if you it's look on for, there as well, right?
I don't know if it's primary on Twitter. A lot of those are links to the YouTube, and Twitter is now not playing nice with YouTube in a fascinating twist of events. So what it involves, Project Veritas here in the United States takes as a mission. It's a nonprofit funded by donations, and it seeks to uncover government corruption in particular, and it uses a particular strategy repeatedly in its modern embodiment. It got caught kind of with its fingers in the cookie jar a few years ago and got in trouble with some editing of videos. But in the modern embodiment with James O'Keefe, they're specialists in what I think is probably familiar to a British audience, these terms, honey traps. The use of attractive journalists of some type that are in some way sexually attractive to whoever the target is. And they often get the target for the investigation into a bar or some other environment where they're loosened up with alcohol or whatever the substance is, and then are caught with surreptitious taping that they were unaware of. And this is absolutely...
Gary, you're back.
Veritas, but his justification is he's trying to capture deceptive people. And so you have his justification is one has to resort to deception in order to capture and unearth, uncover deception. So bottom line is this young... A fairly recent University of Texas medical graduate by way of undergraduate at Yale, who's African American and apparently gay, based on not, I'm not casting aspersions, I'm just describing the scene. Based on the fact that he refers to this as a date with the journalist in a subsequent recording. The journalist is an ex Pfizer employee who's male. So there's that. And global worldwide director level person, three down from Boria, or some say two down in terms of the organization.
Let me know when you want to come back, Gary.
From the CEO of Pfizer, is very outspoken, very casual.
Okay, so there you have it. So here's a top scientist right at the top of Pfizer, and in a casual conversation, he is recorded as talking about the new gain-of-function research and how they're just, you know, it's going to be making them a lot of money. And too bad the public doesn't know. And the revolving door going from government offices to corporate America and then back again, oh, yeah, that's good for the companies. It's not good for the public. It's rare to have someone just be this honest. And then when he was caught, of course he was angry about it. I think anyone would be. But the fact is that we now know the truth. And yet the media will not cover that. The media is not covering anything at all that the main that the corporate interests don't want to have exposed. It's that simple. I like your calls. I like your feedback. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888, especially on the issue of this. We've had outstanding women in our society, countless, from the beginning that I've dealt with, the great abolitionists. I've done many, many essays on some of the greatest women. But I'm even talking now, within our lifetimes, some of the best and brightest men and women who could have served us nobly, honestly, wouldn't have gotten rich because they weren't rich. They had been a part of the populist movements her whole life. We wouldn't elect one of them to office today. And that's because they weren't groomed. They're not compromisable. They're just too legitimate. And why is it the American public refuses to get anyone who's spiritual and honest and will really make positive change and stop our problems? We don't want them in office. We get the sociopaths instead. I'd like your answer. Got two little things to mention to you. One, I think you're going to really enjoy. If you were vaccinated or not, if you've had side effects or not, if you were vaccinated and didn't have side effects but are afraid of now, of all the side effects that we're now seeing, the longer it lasts in a person's body, in one person, they found the spike protein 600 days in her body. And it's a nurse, and she can't work anymore. She's got all these side effects, and they can't do anything to help her. Well, this is supposed to be out of the body in a matter of hours, not 600 days, 2 years. That's the reality. So everything they told us is just the opposite. These are neither safe nor effective, and we're finding out more and more. So what I did is I put together a 10.5-hour live webinar. And I want to thank those of you who attended. But, of course, a lot of people weren't able to because our bandwidth was totally filled. We kept exploring it, expanding it, and still couldn't go any further. So what I've done is this. Because this information that they gave us was so important, in my opinion, life-saving, that we went ahead and edited it into a short document, a short 4 hours and 7 minutes. That's not short. And in this documentary, which is called Rescue and Hope, it's a 2-DVD set, and you're going to hear some of the finest minds on COVID in the world. Now, we're not arguing all the different issues about COVID. We've done that in the past. Now, this is about the protocols to help you, and that's what we want. We want the protocols. We want the things we know that these doctors in the film actually did. So this is not hypothetical. These are what saved their patient's life, even those who got COVID, how they could get over it very quickly. And so you're going to hear how to detoxify the body, how you can actually, two of them believe that they can actually disintegrate the spike protein or minimize its effect. And also, they have new protocols in here about what to do with those lipid self-forming, the blocking agents in your veins. So we have Dr. Robert Malone, who you just heard, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Anna Marie Malhassi, Dr. Pierre Corey, Dr. Paul Merrick, Dr. Henry Grayson, and Bruce Curtis. So these are some of the most formidable medical doctors in the world. Three of them have 3 board certifications. 3 of them are the most cited in their field. So you're getting the best of the best, and you're getting an in-depth analysis of what to do, how they've saved people, and how we could help ourselves. If nothing else, watch it. Take notes. At least you will be informed. To go beyond that, contact one of the organizations, of which there are many. One has, I think, over 17,000 members, and get what you need so you have it at home. If you don't need it, good. It's like a fire insurance that you don't need. I'd rather have the insurance and spend the money on it than not have insurance and have a fire and think, well, that was stupid. I just had a friend of mine call me the other day and said, oh, I got COVID. Okay, for the third time, you have your protocol, right? No. And I'm thinking, what the hell are you thinking? Well, just extend that to just about anything else in that person's life, and you see why they're not prepared for anything. And I'm saying, why, when you heard me doing these broadcasts, when you heard and she was on the webinar, why didn't you go out and immediately get everything so you've got it? Well, yeah, and then you get all the excuses, and excuses don't count when you're sick. So you're going to get this video sent right out to you today, but you're going to get more than that. You're getting my brand new product. It is the fourth foundation to great health. Foundation 1, getting all the phytonutrients, getting all the special nutrients in your body, the superstars like chlorella and spirulina, etc. But now you're getting 3 servings of fruits and vegetables, and each serving of fruit and vegetable stuff, brand new. I know of no other product in the world that gives you 3 servings of fruits and vegetables in one serving. If you took 2 scoops a day, you're getting more servings of fruits and vegetables than what the USDA actually recommends. You're getting 6, and they recommend 5.5. So this, along with green stuff, one of the foundations, red stuff a foundation, power berry blast a foundation, and now the 4th foundation is fruit and vegetable stuff. I take them all together because I want to get everything I can into my body every day in the way of phytonutrients, probiotics, and all the good fibers and cruciferous, everything I can I'm getting into my body. Plus, to make it all go easier, I'm giving you the Healing Foods Cookbook, You're getting all this in a package. It would normally cost you $182.89. You are only going to pay $99.99. You're saving $82.90 today. Call Neil in the Vitamin Closet till 8 at night at 646-926-5430. Or you can go visit him, 646-926-5430. Or you can go up and order it right online. Or you can call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, because don't you want every foundation that is possible, that is natural, non-toxic, in your body to help you? And don't you want the video that shows you that some of the best and brightest, smartest, most courageous physicians on the planet, who are respected by their peers, who are the leaders, the innovators, and they started treating their patients immediately? And that's why their patients are alive and well and didn't die, didn't go to the hospital. So the protocols all these people have used, you will now have it. And you'll see all the physicians and organizations you can go to and have one, so you can get the counseling you need. At least you'll have the information in 4 hours, long video, two DVDs. So that's it, 877-627-5065. This is a package, in my personal opinion, that could save lives, takes a lot of anxiety out of the equation, and can give you hope. And that's why we're calling it Rescue and Hope. Now, finally, we are coming up to the 1st of March. At March 1, Luann stops interviewing people who are interested in either quality of life, an intentional community, small, homesteading projects, to which a person could work on a project and make an income from it, and they're not investing anything, and they have a quality place to live around people of a like mind, and but you only got till another week, and then that door closes, and the train moves off. So for those of you wanting to know, what do I do? I feel safe where I'm at. I don't like where I'm at. You know, there's too many problems. It used to be great. Now it's not great, especially for people living in New York and New Jersey and Chicago and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and San Francisco. These are not the once great cities they were. They've changed. Now maybe they'll change back with proper leadership. But they don't have good leadership. They have good people and bad leadership. So, and I don't want to see someone be a victim. I don't want to see someone say, well, okay, I'm not going to go out because I'm afraid of getting slashed or, you know, robbed or something. That's not a life. Then you're allowing, as the movie My Dinner with Andre showed back in 1981, where the people have become the architects of their own prison. They designed it for themselves, and they become both the guard and the prisoner, and they're not aware of it. You shouldn't fear where you live. You shouldn't fear walking down the streets. You shouldn't fear having your door unlocked. You shouldn't fear being around people. You shouldn't fear being on a subway. And yet today, not to be concerned and diligent is to be reckless and put your life at risk. So if you want to be a part of this on a spectrum to just enjoy your life or to be more engaged with a homesteading project, you can call Luann. And I'll give you Luann's number, and you can give her a call anytime. And if the line's busy, please be patient, because there's probably someone on the line. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. This will be the last mention of it. And I'll be mentioning the health support group, not the anti-aging one, because there's a whole lot of work we have to do between now and next week when I finally mention the anti-aging study coming up. But the health retreat, yeah, that's going forward. You can come for 1 week, 2 weeks, or even 3 weeks. The last 2 weeks of May, first week of June, you can call Luann for information on that. This is not the anti-aging study. This is the health and detoxification and wellness and de-stressing retreat. All right? Have a nice day. Stay tuned in a few minutes for Utrecht Lead. Have a nice day, everyone.